You saw a little bit about the prisons out there in California. If we add in the youth, if we add in everyone except the military and federal, you're looking at 35 state prisons, over 239,000 incarcerated. When I say that, I want you to think about it this way. The incarcerated cannot come to church. They can't come. You say, well, they're getting what they deserve. Well, I'm glad I'm not getting what I deserve. If I got what I deserve, I'd be in hell, and you would too. But the incarcerated cannot come. The homeless will not come. You say, well, why won't they come? Because they look different, act different, smell different. And I hate to word it this way, but there are some churches that would not even want them to come. But may I say to you, if it wasn't for the grace of God, that would be me laying there. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be the one shot up with drugs. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be the drunk that's laying on the street. I'd be the one trying to raise my children in that type of an environment. And God's been good to me, and the same God that loves me loves them. So how are you going to reach those people if they won't come to church? How are you going to reach the incarcerated when they can't come to church? God gave us a plan. It's called the Great Commission. And God said, not for them to come here, but for us to go there. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's God's plan. Now, I believe you'd agree with me. I believe you're thankful somebody brought you the gospel. And so that's what we want to do, is take the gospel message to the incarcerated, to the homeless. We want to be able to get into the schools. So how can you do that? We have what's called character under construction, where we can go into the schools and teach character. And oh, by the way, you can't teach character apart from this textbook, the Word of God. And so we want to be able to get that started in the state of California. Beginning October, we'll be on the radio in California. I'm excited about that. We'll be able to broadcast the gospel message 15 minutes twice a week. You say, well, that's not a lot. Well, when you're listening to the radio, if you keep somebody's attention for 15 minutes, you've done something today. And we get two programs a week. And right now, we're able to say that churches have given so that we already have enough to pay for 1 year airtime on that radio station. God's been good. We have an FM transmitter that's in our motorhome. And when we travel to different areas, we were in a motorhome park some time back, and I had the opportunity to preach in that motorhome. And by the way, while we're on deputation, we're not just trying to get to California. We believe God wants us to minister all the way to California, not just wait till we get there and do something. There are many things we need to be doing along the way. And so while we were at this campground, I was talking to the owner of the campground, and he said, well, I want to have a service and have you preach. I said, praise the Lord, let's do it. And so 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning, before we headed out to go to the churches we were going to be in for that day, I had the privilege to preach the gospel message at the motorhome park with the people. They came and gathered so that we could have a church service. And then after that, I was able to explain to them how that we have an FM transmitter. And by having an FM transmitter, I was able to find the frequency of that area that was free. And then I connected my computer to that, and I was able to play messages that I had preached. And we had songs on there where they could tune in, so they could go and turn on their radio at their campground and listen to preaching and singing the whole time we were camped out there. Now, thank God for those opportunities. So there is much that needs to be done. There are people that need to be reached. As I mentioned this morning, we're surrounded by dead people. And so we need to do everything we possibly can to reach them with the gospel. I ask that you pray for us. As we go to California, our prayer is that we can be there. And I've got to be there in March, and then I've got to come back to Cleveland, Tennessee. And then after that, we're going to be leaving out to go there to get the work started that God has called us to do in that great state. We're excited about it. I want you to pray right now. You know the wildfires are horrendous out there. And the picture of the Golden Gate Bridge, that bridge doesn't look like that today. It's hard to see today because of the smoke and the ash. People are being affected by it and having trouble breathing. There's wildfires all throughout, and they've been started by different things. One of them was started due to a gender reveal party. But no matter how they got started, they're real. And they're affecting those people's lives. So please pray. Please pray. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so pray that God will use us. We could go on and on. The backpacks of compassion, this is something that we'll be using when we get there. We're putting together backpacks that have non-perishable food items. We have backpacks for boys, girls, for adult men, adult women. We have toiletry items in them. We have a blanket in there. We have socks in there. We have a Bible in there. We have gospel literature in there. And we want to be able to take those and just go. Now, we can't go to a tent city with these backpacks. We'd get mobbed. But what we can do is go along the city streets like what you saw. We can go into some of these areas where we can sit down and talk with them and give them a backpack and let them know that we love them and God loves them and give them the gospel message. You say, well, why do you give them the backpack? To let them know that we care. To let them know we care. Because if we let them know we care, they'll listen. If I just go over and start preaching to them, they may not listen. But if you let them know you care. My wife, we were driving. My wife loves Dunkin' Donuts. She believes that Dunkin' Donuts is going to be at the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. She's hooked on their coffee. And you don't have one around here. At least I didn't find one around here. And we went out to Tim Hortons this afternoon. They were closed when we got there. But she loves Dunkin' Donuts coffee. So I went to McDonald's and got her iced coffee down there. That made her happy. Everything's good. She loves iced coffee. I don't understand that. Something that's supposed to be hot shouldn't have ice in it. I've never understood that. But I was taking her to the Dunkin' Donuts out there, and we saw a lady on the side of the street, and she was laying there sleeping bag. There you go. And so my wife went in Dunkin' Donuts. She got her something to drink. She come back with a muffin. I knew that wasn't for me. She don't bring me muffins. Tells me not to eat muffins. And I eat too many muffins, so I knew it wasn't mine. And so she came back, and I said, what is the muffin for? And she said, I'd like to go back and take it to that lady that we saw laying on the street. So we went back, and when I drove back over there, she had gotten up and she had went down to try to get on the bus. But when you only have 17 cents in your pocket, you don't ride a bus in California. So there she stood, and she had that sleeping bag wrapped around her. I pulled up near her. My wife got out and went over, began to talk with her. She gave her that muffin. That lady ate that muffin like she hadn't had anything for weeks. My wife began to talk with her, and that lady asked my wife something interesting. She said, are you a Christian? Well, that's interesting. That opened the door for a wonderful conversation. My wife began to share with her the gospel message, began to tell her how that God loved her so much and how that she didn't have to live the way she was living. Next thing I know, my wife's weeping, that lady's weeping, and they're hugging each other, and I'm thinking, wow, man, what's going on? My wife came back, she's still in tears, and I said, what happened? I said, did she get saved? And she said, no. She said, she didn't get saved. She said, but she knows how. She knows that God loves her. She knows that I care. And I told her how she could go to heaven one day. She said, I told her and explained how she didn't have to live the life she was living. And that homeless lady hugged my wife and thanked her so much for stopping and talking with her. Now, she didn't get saved that day, but I'm praying she's gotten saved by now. You see, every time we give the gospel, a person doesn't get saved. I wish they would. But we cannot make a person get saved. But we can give them the gospel. We can tell them how. So please pray that God will use all these different things to be able to win many to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to speak to you on a subject tonight that I may just be speaking to myself. And if so, that's all right. I need it. But the message is this: Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase my faith. What is faith? Well, faith is described in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What is faith, preacher? The description of faith is that it is the substance, the confidence, that ground of confidence of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. What's faith, preacher? Let's look at the definition of it in chapter 12, verse number 2. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What is faith, preacher? Well, the description of faith is that it is the substance, that confidence of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. But the definition of faith is looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. So tonight my prayer is this: Lord, increase my faith. We found in verse number 6, it's impossible to please him unless we live by faith. So therefore, Lord, increase my faith. Let's pray together. Father, would you help us tonight? I need you tonight. Lord, would you speak through me and help me to be a blessing? Father, thank you for the privilege to stand here behind the sacred desk and proclaim the Word of God. And Lord, I ask tonight that you would do a work in all of our lives. And Father, I pray, increase our faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Increase our faith. Now, if my faith is going to be increased, there are some things that I must have. I'd like to share them with you. It's only three of them that I've written down here. First of all, if my faith is going to be increased, I must have the voice. I must have the voice. You say, what do you mean? Well, John chapter 10, verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. Let me ask you, when's the last time you heard the voice of God? When's the last time you heard God speak to you? You say, well, I don't know. How does God speak to me? Well, I believe he does that in three different ways. Number one, God will speak to you through the Spirit of God. There are some times that God speaks to us and we just know that's God. There's no doubt about it. Maybe you're at a hotel and you're in the elevator and you're standing there and there's someone standing beside of you, and all of a sudden you just feel the need that you need to hand them a gospel tract. Well, who told you that? I don't believe that was the devil saying, give them the gospel. No, you can write that out. That's not going to happen. So who told you that? You didn't hear an audible voice. You didn't have anyone tap you on the shoulder and say to do that. How did you know? What made you think that you need to give them the gospel tract? That was the Spirit of God. God spoke to you. When we went to California a few years ago, God spoke to me about that. And I felt in my heart, this was God. God was saying, go there and do a work for me. I believe that with all of my heart. But I also knew this. We are from Virginia. We moved from Virginia to Ohio. I don't know if you've ever moved around, but from Virginia to Ohio is a culture shock. It is. Things are different. The culture's different. When we moved here in 2014, if you remember 2014, it only snowed one time. It began in October and stopped in March. I've never seen that much snow in my life. I'd never seen a school bus run in the snow. I'd never seen that before. When I saw a school bus out in the snow, I took pictures of it and sent it to my family, and I said, you're not going to believe this. Where we come from, if they say it's going to snow Wednesday, we close today just to prepare for it because we don't have the equipment. Virginia doesn't have the equipment to deal with that kind of snow. I was in North Carolina one time for the college, and while I was there, the night before, there was just a little bit of ice that came, and the whole next day was shut down. Nobody could go anywhere because they did not have the equipment to deal with it. It's a culture shock concerning the climate. It's a culture shock concerning just the way we handle ourselves. I had to have an interpreter with me for the first year I moved here. I would say things people had no idea what I was talking about. I said something today, he didn't know what I was talking about concerning a straight gear. And I remember Pastor Thayer, I was in there one day and we were talking and we were getting ready to have a meeting. We had just pulled back in with the college van. And I said, Pastor, I'll be in your office just as soon as I put the van up. And he said, okay. And he went on to his office. I went and put the van back in the garage, and I come around and I went in his office and he said, can I ask you something? I said, sure. He said, what did you do with that van? I said, I put it up. He said, up where? And then it hit me. Our speech is different. I said, I put it in the garage. I put it away. He said, oh, I got you. I know what you're about. Now, since then, I've learned him some words. You noticed how I said it? I learned him some words. Not taught him. I learned him. My dad used to say, son, I'm going to learn you something. All right? It's different. The speech is different. Culture's different. But God, you want me to tell my wife we're going to California? You've got to be kidding me. Ohio's one thing. California's another. I said, God, if you want her to know, if you want us to go, you're going to have to tell her. I don't even know how to begin to tell her that. A few months later, my wife's in California visiting our daughter, and she calls me, and I know something is bothering her, and something is going on, and I said, what is it? And she said, do you think God wants us to come out here to California? Who told her that? God did. But we wanted to make sure it was God. So not only does God speak to you through the Spirit of God, He speaks to you through the man of God. So I began to talk to our pastor, and I began to share with him my heart. I called Dr. Ellis over Rock of Ages, and I said, This is what's on my heart. I just want to know, is there a need for someone to go to California and work with the incarcerated? And he said, Brother Whitlow, we have prayed for years for someone to go there. Years. And that's when he told me there was only one missionary with Rock of Ages in that entire state. And he said, he's a chaplain. And he said, he's the only one. No one's traveling. No one's trying to get into schools. No one's trying to get into prisons. No one's trying to work with the homeless. No one's coming alongside trying to encourage pastors. No one's doing that. And we've been praying for years. He said, could it be? He said, is God raising you up to do such a task? I said, I believe He is. How can you be so sure? The Spirit of God. The man of God. But then God speaks to you through the Word of God. And by the way, you better make sure you try the spirits to make sure it is God. You better make sure the man of God is telling you correctly. I hate to say it, but there are some preachers out there that preach false doctrine. You have a good pastor that preaches the truth, but there are some that preach false doctrine. But can I tell you, the Word of God will never lead you astray. So we began to look into the Word of God, and we were at our church mission conference, and every message the preacher preached during that mission conference, I wanted to just stand up and say, it's me. Everybody else go home. He's talking to me. You ever been in church and felt like that? I'm talking about every message. Now, not only did I feel that way, but after the service, now get this, after the service, we would go home after the service, and Pastor Thayer would send me a text, and it would read, did you hear that tonight? Boy, you know God's speaking to you when that happens. Even the pastor sends you a text. Did you hear that tonight? Yes, sir, I did. The next day, same thing. After the service, did you hear that tonight? Yes, sir, I did. The next day, same thing. After the service, did you hear that tonight? Yes, sir, I did. Because this is what I believe. As God calls us to go to California, God shows our pastor that's where we need to be. So God is putting all this together. Let me ask you, what's God asking you to do? That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to go there and serve Him and do everything we can to lead some people to Christ. That's what He wants us to do. But what is it that God wants you to do? Because God has a plan for your life just like He has for us. It might not be go to California. It might be to go across the street. It might be to go to your neighbor's house. It may be to go to your family's house. It may be to go to your workforce. It may be to go to the schoolhouse. What is it that God is asking you to do? The only way we can step out by faith, the only way we can grow by faith, the only way that we can increase our faith is we must have the voice of God. And we hear Him by His Spirit, by His men, and by His Word. But you also want you to notice, secondly, not only the voice, but we must have the venture. Look with me, please, at verse number 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Verse number 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive sin and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Verse number 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning up on the top of his staff. Verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 27, by faith, he forsook Egypt. Verse 28, through faith, he kept the Passover. Verse 29, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with him that believed not. Verse 32, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David, and Samuel, and of the prophets. We could go on and on and on, but they all have something in common. Faith without works is dead. First of all, if I'm going to increase my faith, God, what is it you want me to do? And secondly, God, help me to step out and do it. Step out and do it. It's one thing to talk about what we're going to do. It's another thing to step out and do it. I have met people down through the years that they intend to join the church. They're going to join the church. One of these days they're going to join the church. One day they're going to get involved in the church, but days are passing. When are they going to do it? My son, he used to shoot competitively. He shot in the Junior Olympics on two different occasions. He shot there in the Olympic Plaza in Colorado Springs. He was ranked 40th in the nation. We were standing there at one of the competitions, and he would shoot pistol, and he would have to have one hand behind his back, and the other hand he would hold out, and he would look at the target. He would aim and he would fire upon the commands. And he had so many seconds to fire the shot. There was a young man standing next to him that was leading the competition. I'm talking about he was a good young man. I mean, he was brilliant when it come to this type of competition. And he stood there and he had his arm behind him. And they had told him to load and he did. And they said, fire. And he pulled up his hand, and he had maybe 10 seconds to take the shot. And he pulled up his hand, and he started to shake, and he put it back down. And he breathed a little bit, and he got his nerves calmed back down. He pulled the arm back up again to take the shot, and his arm went back down. He's leading the competition. He knows what to do. He's been doing this for years. He's been trained. This means whether or not he's going to go to the big Olympics. It means whether he's going to go to Korea or wherever they're going to be shooting in the main competition. And he pulls up his arm one more time and he's getting ready to fire the shot. And they said, stop. Stop. And he laid his pistol down. And he turned around and he looked at his coach and he said, why couldn't I just take the shot? Why couldn't I just take the shot? He knew what to do. He knew how to do it. He'd been trained to do it. Why couldn't he just take the shot? I go to churches across this country. People have been to Bible college. They've trained for the ministry. And they're still sitting around on the stool of do-nothing, Pastor. And God has a plan for their life, but they're sitting there doing nothing when they need to take the shot. What's God asking you to do? Has He spoke to you? Have you heard the voice of God? Do you know what God's plan is for your life? Then the next step is to step out and do it. Do it. Want you to notice the third thing. This is the last thing. Not only if I'm going to increase my faith, not only must I have the voice, not only must I have the venture, but I must have the value. The value. I'd like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, if you would please, verse number 34. Luke chapter 12 and verse 34. And the Bible says this, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now, you know what God wants you to do. And God says, take the step. Step out. Now, where's your treasure? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Many have taken the step and then they've froze and said, I can't go any further. This is as far as I possibly can go. When God is saying, I want you to take another step. I want you to take another step. Hey, I'm not finished with you yet. Take another step. You say, well, I'm a child of God. I've done that. Wonderful. Have you followed the Lord in baptism? You say, well, I've done that. Wonderful. Are you part of this church? You say, well, I've done that. Wonderful. Then have you got involved faithfully to the services? You say, well, I do that. Wonderful. Have you got involved in faith promise giving? You say, well, I'm involved in that. Wonderful. Have you started soul winning? We could go on and on and on. God did not save us to just do a little part. He wants us to continue on and step out by faith. You say, yeah, but I can't do that. But you can if the Spirit of God, if the man of God, if the Word of God has shown you that's what God wants you to do. If you're not careful, the value will get misplaced. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your treasure? I know people tonight, their treasure is in finances. Finance. We were talking about that Corvette Museum. And listen, I've got an uncle who has a Corvette that has never had rain to hit it. Rain has never touched this Corvette. It still has the original tires on it. I'm talking about a nice vehicle. I'm talking about a nice vehicle. Do you know where it's at tonight? It's sitting in a garage under a cover. Now, I'm not making fun of that. I'm using it as an illustration. What good is that? When he dies, you know what's going to happen? His son's going to get it. And what's he going to do with it? You say, well, I hope he'll take care of it like his dad did. Leave it in a garage under a cover. Where's your treasure? I can't get involved in mission. I can't give to missions. If I were to give to missions, I wouldn't be able to go and buy this over here that I want. Have you figured out by now we always get what we want? Sure. If I just can make a little more money, if you made more money, you'd want more stuff. You know what I like about us living in that motorhome? I can't carry much stuff. It don't fit in there. And we've been going through our house looking, going, can you believe all this junk we've kept over the years? What are we going to do with it? Something that was so priceless to us, we can't even give it away. Where's your treasure tonight? Is it finances? Or maybe your treasure is family. Could it be family? Can I show you a verse and I'm going to close out right here. I didn't understand this verse for many years. But I think I've come to understand it. Would you go with me to Matthew chapter 10, verse 37? Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. And I just want to show you a verse. Jesus said this. He said, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." I really didn't understand that. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is your treasure finances? Is that what's keeping you from serving God? You say, no, it's not finances. It might be family. I know some people tonight that's not serving God because of family. Because of family. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. What is he saying? Can I give it to you this way? I believe with all my heart God wants us to go to California. There's not a doubt in my mind. If you ask my wife, she would leave tonight to go. We just believe that with all of our heart, that's where God wants us to go. But stay with me now. My dad's 87, my mom's 85. Dad is starting either in Parkinson's or dementia. They can't go. You follow me? They're not going. They're not going to California. They're not going. My wife's mother is a widow. She's not going to California. You with me? She's not going. We've had people say, "I can't believe you're going to leave your dad. I cannot believe you're going to leave your mom. I cannot believe." Wait a minute. I want you to understand something. Her mom is a child of God. My dad is a child of God. My mom's a child of God. And you know what God's saying? God's saying, look, there's some people over there that need to hear the gospel, that need to be saved. I make no mistakes. I want you to go take the gospel message to them. And by the way, you might not be able to be with your mom and dad right now, but I want you to understand something. You're going to be with them for all eternity. But there's some people over there that if we don't reach them with the gospel, are going to die and go to hell. And you're going to sit back and let your love for family keep you from doing the will of God. By the way, you know what I found? My love for my family grows stronger because I'm doing what God wants us to do. Now stay with me. I'm almost done. We have three children. Our son's getting ready to get married. I tried to talk him out of it, but I can't. I tried. I really did. But he's still getting married. Our oldest daughter, she lives in California. She's been on her own for years. Our middle child, our daughter, is married and has our only grandchild, a 2-year-old full of life. We were gone for 7 weeks, and I would talk to her on Facebook Live, not Facebook Live, FaceTime. I would FaceTime her and talk with her. And one day she said, "Papa, I want to see you out of that phone. I want to see you out of this phone too. But Papa won't be home for a little while. Papa's got some more places he's going to go." You know what? It's good to serve God. But I'm going to miss that little girl. I'm going to miss that little girl. But you know what? She's going to be able to see something that is a lesson that's better than anything that I could tell her. She's going to be able to see that Papa loves God more than anything else. And by loving God and following God, God is going to take care of my family. What's keeping you tonight from doing what God asks you to do? "Lord, increase my faith." The Lord says, "Okay, this is what I want you to do." "All right, Lord, I know what it is." The Lord says, "Okay, now do it." "All right, Lord, I'm going to step out." The Lord says, "All right, now, are you going to continue? Because if you're not careful, You'll let this world drag you back and you'll miss what God wants you to do. Let's make sure we hear the voice. Take the venture and realize the true value is loving Him with all of our heart. And then that will bring the love for others more than we've ever had before. Lord, increase my faith. Let's stand for prayer, shall we? Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege to be here with this good pastor. And Father, I pray you will help all of us tonight to increase our faith in Jesus' name. Pastor, you come.